When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, we're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfasts don't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavours that you love without all the bad stuff. Go to magicspoon.com/onion to grab a custom bundle of cereal and be sure to use our promo code ONION at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/onion and use the code ONION to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Harmonize with me and hold me tight all through the night. You're shining bright. I'm your oyster, baby. You're my pearl.
Well, guys, we've had a couple of problems with this next episode. Nothing to worry about, just technical problems. But we have done what we could to make it as good as we can.
I think that's a great way to explain it. The interview that you did with Casper was so great, Bills.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, because I was in Yosemite, which I think some people call Yosemite, right?
Yosemite?
Yeah, Yosemite. The feed, my video and my audio isn't great, but Billy's in the studio with Casper and Billy is generally asking most of the questions, so I don't think you guys are missing out on that much.
Oh,
apart from my wonderful shiny face.
But we've worked it out as best as we can, so please enjoy this episode of The Friendship Onion. Dom, here we are,
another week done and dusted, but we're in slightly different parts of United States. Well, you're in the normal place. I'm in Yosemite.
I'm actually in my normal seat, my normal chair. But when I look to my right, normally Dominic Monaghan is sitting there. But he's not here. He does not care.
I am here. I'm over there.
So you are. You're in Yosemite. How is it over there? What's it like, Dom? Tell me.
It's amazing. I've never been here before. So we have a friend who came into town. He and his wife only have a week to spare. They wanted to get out of LA. None of us had ever been to Yosemite before. It is stunning. It's incredible. You can understand how Ansel Adams came up here and just kind of thought, right, well, I need to document these sites, because everywhere you look is like a postcard. The weather's been amazing. Yeah, it's beautiful. Stunning up here.
Good stuff, mate. Lovely. Climb one of those trees. They're quite high, you know.
We've been considering doing a little bit of free soloing, but I don't think we're going to get around to it today because we're a little bit busy. Maybe tomorrow we're going to go to the sequoia trees. I'll keep you posted. And what about you? You're in LA. Anything to report? What's been going on?
Oh, much the same, Tom. Much the same. It's getting warmer, so that's quite nice. I like the hot weather.
Nice.
So I got my shorts on, got my legs out. Yeah. That was nice. And yeah, it's been a good week, but not too much to report, Dom. So how about a little bit of housekeeping before we get our guest on? We have a guest this week, Dom.
We have a guest this week, an amazing guest this week.
Yes.
Let's see what's going on in the housekeeping department. Now, we have a question here.
Right.
Or another little comment here.
Carry on, Dom.
From Rod in Gothenburg about Doom Patrol, that amazing show that you were on. Dibbly and Dom, love the show, been a regular listener since its inception. Just wanted to say that I really loved the episode with Corey Olsen. Yeah, we did too. I always enjoy listening to you guys just hanging out. But I really love hearing you talk about movies, about acting, about sci-fi, and particularly about Lord of the Rings. That's about it. Keep the goodness coming. P.S. It was great seeing Billy as Samuelson on season 3 of Doom Patrol. Was that as much fun to make as it was to watch? Would love to hear more. Billy, tell us about your facial prosthetic experience.
I tell you what, Tom. I love these prosthetic guys.
Yeah.
I love the design. Well, straight off, I love Doom Patrol. I think it's such a weird and wonderful show. and great characters. And they asked me to do the Samuelson character. And I thought, yeah. And they showed me some images of what they wanted to do. And I thought, it's really fun to see what these guys, how they create you into these other beings, you know? So I met the guys and, you know, they're fantastic. They're award-winning prosthetic guys. And they sit me down and they put all these extra pieces onto your head, you know, to change your head shape. But it's all just, you know, white color. And they get rid of all the lines. And then they decided it was going to be a red alien. So I had to be completely painted red. And then with red eye things in as well. I mean, it's amazing. But one thing about that character that they didn't think about, and it's exactly the same problem they had on Lord of the Rings with us, with the hobbit ears. They didn't think about us hearing, right? Do you remember when we first got the hobbit ears? For like a couple of weeks, the four of us couldn't hear anyone. Do you remember that?
I do, yeah. They had to cut little tiny holes in the bend.
Yeah, exactly. So they cut the inside of the ears off to help us on Lord of the Rings. But with Samuelson, the ear was in a different place because I'm an alien. Obviously, my ears are not where human ears are.
All right.
So they did cut a little hole, but it wasn't near my ears. And because of the red eyes as well, I spent the whole day not being able to see anyone or hear anyone. It was the weirdest, like, kind of experience. But the guys do such a beautiful job on it. You don't want to say, well, completely change this so that I can hear. So, and because it wasn't as if we were there for 2 years, I thought I'll just sit on a chair and not listen to anyone. But the guys did a fantastic job on that.
Yeah, it looks great. It looks really great. You can kind of see that it's you, but also it's not super clear that it's you. So obviously all the stuff that they put you in looks fantastic because you do look like an alien creature.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And I don't know about you, Dom, but I always love that. Even if it's not a full prosthetic, even if it's costume or anything like that where it helps your character, you know. Maybe you're struggling with trying to think, how do I play this guy? And someone just gives you the perfect costume and you go, oh yeah, I get it. Or like with these prosthetics, as soon as you're this alien and weird eyes, you start to kind of hold yourself a different way and you find the character that way, you know.
Sweet, very cool. All right, well, we do have another. I know we have an amazing guest coming up. We do have a couple of other letters if you're interested in.
Well, shall we do one more and then we'll get the guest on?
We're either going to talk about maple syrup or we can continue to add swear words in the Lord of the Rings.
Swear words, please, Dom. What do you think of this one, Dom? This is from Megan in St. Louis. They don't say St. Louis, I don't think. I think they say St. Louis. At the end of the Fellowship, when Aragorn, Gimli and Legolas are getting ready to go after the orcs and rescue Merry and the very beautiful Pippin, Aragorn says, leave everything you can. We travel light. Let's hunt some orcs.
I think that sits in the category of things that could actually have been said. Like, you know, he's in that kind of headspace. One here from Jenny Graham in Jackson, Wyoming. Here's a quick suggestion on where to insert a swear word in the trilogy. When Arwen crosses the river with Frodo in Fellowship of the Ring, she says to the Nazgul, if you want him, come and f***ing me.
I think Liv would be good at that, actually. Dom, shall we bring in our wonderful guest this week?
Let's do it.
This is the leader of the Tolkien Ensemble. And I'll tell you about this, Dom. The Tolkien Ensemble, founded in 1995, is a Danish ensemble which successfully aimed to create the world's first complete musical interpretation of all the poems and songs from The Lord of the Rings. They published 4 CDs from 1997 to 2005, in which all the poems and songs of The Lord of the Rings are set to music. Composer Kasper Leif founded the Tolkien Ensemble in Copenhagen in autumn 1995. At the time, Leif was studying guitar at the Royal Danish Academy of Music in Copenhagen. He formed an ensemble consisting of fellow students from the academy and his former guitar teacher, the composer and musician Peter Hall. And they did it. They put all the music, all the poems and songs of Lord of the Rings to music. Well done, Casper Ruud, and welcome to the Friendship Onion.
Thank you very much, Billy. Thank you. Thanks, Tom.
So let's start with that, I think, Casper. I think so you are at college, you're at the academy in Copenhagen, the music academy, and you come up with this idea.
Yes. I read the books, of course.
Well, right. When did you read the books?
Yeah, I read the books and I read them just around when I was getting ready to be to the application for the Academy of Music, which was kind of confusing at that moment, because at that time guitar was everything for me. It was like eight till eight every day. Just playing guitar, and this book came in, you know, and I was like all of a sudden reading instead of playing.
Okay.
And I had a small concert in a small Danish church, and I just had to read, so I didn't practice, and everything just turned out to be a total disaster. And I couldn't play the thing because all the time I was thinking, oh, Gandalf just died. And so, yeah, but it was obvious that these poems that are described as songs in the Lord of the Rings books should have some music. And I went to the music stores around Copenhagen. Sure. But there was nothing there.
You're reading these poems that sometimes it's Bilbo sings a song.
Yeah.
And you wanted to hear the song.
Yeah, and I was sure that somebody must, I mean, this was the second best-selling book in the world at the time, just after the Bible.
Wow, right.
And how come that there was no music? And so I just started to make the music myself, basically.
Right.
A couple of tunes and thought, sounds pretty good. So that was the start of it. And I applied for the Academy of Music and started, you know, attending the Academy as a classical guitarist. And then at the same time, I constantly had this idea, how would the music of Middle Earth sound?
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of music history would the various characters have, or the various people of Middle Earth?
Okay.
Like, at what development would for instance the Hobbit would obviously be folkish style.
Yeah, yeah.
And all the clues are actually in the poems, the way Tolkien wrote them, you know. It's very obvious, the drinking songs of the hobbits and so on. And then the human would be kind of a classical style.
Sure.
To me. And then the elves would be something in between.
Yeah.
And the various characters like Gollum, Treebeard, would sort of take something from everything.
Sure.
You know?
Sure, yeah.
And that was basically the idea was to create a trustworthy musical history of Middle Earth.
But did you start saying, like, how many poems are in Lord of the Rings?
We got 69 poems.
So there's 69.
There's 69 of them, yeah.
Did you start thinking, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do all of them? Or did you just sit and say, oh, there's the drinking song, I want to put some music to this? Or
I'm very much a completist.
Right, okay. You know?
And I just wanted to do it all in order to do the music history of Middle Earth, or some kind of music that you would have to make it all,
right?
Because so I knew from the beginning it would be a long project,
yeah,
and it would be very hard to finance it. We were nerds back then, before the movies, before all you came in and made us all pop stars, right? And you really made us very popular when you made the movie, so thank you very much. But before that, we had only sold, in 5 years, we sold about 2,000 CDs worldwide.
Before the movies?
Yeah. And when you came along, it exploded, of course.
Ah, because then people said, yeah.
Anything Lord of the Rings was people wanted to buy.
Two out of three men will experience some sort of hair loss by the time they're 35. More than 50 million men in the US suffer from male pattern baldness. Keeps is the way forward. Keeps has got more five-star reviews than any of its competitors. There's only two FDA-approved medications that can prevent hair loss. Keeps offers both of them. Keeps offers a simple, affordable, and stress-free way to keep your hair. It's convenient. Virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months. You don't have to leave your house. 24/7 care and support. Keeps has a network of expert medical advisors, prescribers, and care specialists to support you in making your hair goals a reality. Keeps has everything that your hair needs, delivered straight to your door with discreet packaging and proven results. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/onion to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/onion to get your first month free. keeps.com/onion. Today's episode is sponsored by Honey. Now, how do you like online shopping? It makes things pretty easy, right? But how often do you get to the checkout and you've got the right promo code to save yourself some money? Probably, like me, virtually never. But thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is now a thing of the past. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one right to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. Tech, gaming, fashion, even food delivery. They'll find a code to save you money. So imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you get to the checkout, the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is press apply coupons. Wait a few seconds. Honey searches for coupons, finds the best one for that site. And if Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. I love it. I was looking for a camera, a new battery for my camera, and I found one. Press the Honey button, save me a lot of money. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. I'd never recommend something that I don't use. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/onion. That's joinhoney.com/onion. So you're at the college now. You're in Copenhagen, but you have this idea of doing all this music. So do you get friends involved? Do you still feel like, well, I'll finish? Did you finish at college? Did you finish your degree?
No. I was a Tolkien dropout.
So you dropped out for yeah. this idea?
Basically, I got so much work with this that, and I lost the motivation of practicing classical guitar.
Right. Okay.
And then I just wanted to follow this dream and took all the time I had. The problem was we started out. I had some friends from the academy just joining me to play this music. Uh-huh. And we did that for about a year. And then we wanted to make the first CD of it and suddenly realized we had no permission to do so.
Yeah.
So we of course, and I kind of panicked because everything was ready and I'd never thought about it really. So I gathered a lot of information and all the music and so on, and sent it to HarperCollins publishers to contact the Tolkien estate, the Tolkien family, and realized they hadn't given this permission for 23 years since Tolkien's death.
So you've already written a lot of the music.
A lot of the music was already ready at that time.
And then you thought, oh, wait a minute, I might not be allowed to do this.
Yeah, exactly. And I was told by David Braun on HarperCollins publishers, don't raise your hopes, you know. They've always said no.
Ah.
But fortunately, they liked what we did. And after a couple of months, I got the permission to go on with the project, which was fantastic. And of course, you know, life-changing thing for me.
Was it as simple as that? You just sent them the music? Did you meet anyone from the Tolkien family? Or
later on, I had a letter from Priscilla Tolkien, Tolkien's daughter, and she invited me to come and perform music in her house in Oxford. She recently died, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that.
And she became the Galadriel of my project because she always sort of protected me when whatever happened, you know. Because she really liked the way we did it,
right,
Peter Hall and I. She liked the style. And I remember once I came up to her house and me and my wife were there. We were 20 minutes early and it was raining. So we knocked on the door anyways.
Uh-huh.
And it was supposed to be this Tolkien Society gathering there. And we were 20 minutes early. And she said, "Oh, do come in, Casper. You are family now."
Ah, oh, nice.
What more could you want?
You're in the Tolkien fan.
Yeah, she said so, yeah. She was almost as polite as you are, Billy.
Dom. Well, that's amazing. So then you've made the first CD.
Then we made the first CD and it was a very nice experience. Good reviews, also internationally, on a small Danish label.
Uh-huh.
Sold nothing, basically. And then we did the other one, the second album in 2000. And then the third album, we brought in Christopher Lee, Sir Christopher Lee, on the third album.
And that's sort of when I heard about you guys and heard some of the music, probably through Christopher Lee, I think, actually. I think he probably played some of it. He was reading poetry on it, correct?
He read poetry and I'd sent him a letter when you were there too at the gala premiere in Copenhagen for the first movie, The Fellowship of the Ring.
I think Viggo went because he has the whole background of Denmark. So I think it was Viggo and Bernard Hill, because I remember Bernard said that was his favourite at that time. He just thought he had a great time in Denmark, whatever you guys were all up to, I don't know. But so Christopher Lee was there as well?
Christopher Lee was there, and I thought there was these about 20 poems that should be read, and it should not be this kind of, you know, most of us talk this kind of upper English.
Uh-huh. You know? Yeah.
So it should be the right thing. And he was in town. So I got a letter to him at the hotel and he called me back and said, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And I told him I wanted him to read aloud these poems and so on. And he said, "I can do that."
How did you get a letter to him? Just wrote it?
One of the the marketing ladies,
right?
from Scandinavian Film Company just handed it over to him. And then he said, "Do you know I'm a singer?" And I said, "No, I didn't know that." "And would you like to sing?" And yes, he would like to do that. And I said, "Well, you could be Treebeard in our project." And then amazingly enough, he said, he started just quoting directly from the poem of Treebeard's song, "In the willow meads of Tasarinan, I walked in the spring," like that. Just
without
by heart.
Just by heart.
And then Peter Hall made a melody and I arranged it, and two months later we recorded with Christopher Lee in Copenhagen. And that, of course, changed a lot for us as well, having this major character on our recordings. Yeah. So.
And for people who don't know, Christopher Lee was a huge Tolkien fan. Long before the movies, he read it every year. After he had read it, he'd met Tolkien.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just a huge fan. So I'm sure when you guys got in touch with him, with the passion that you guys have and a real love of the stories, that he could see that it wasn't a throwaway project, that this was something coming from a very real
place. He really loved it, and he loved singing. And he one of his greatest passion was actually classical music.
Right.
And my full band was basically classical musicians. So he loved, you know, dining with us and talking about old tenors from the 60s, and we all knew them. So we could actually discuss these things with him, and he found that totally amazingly enjoyable. So
for him, it'd have been great talking about all these classical musicians with you.
And old conductors, you know.
You guys would know.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be able to talk to with other people.
No.
And then for you guys, you're sitting with Christopher Lee.
Yeah, and we asked a lot about his life and what's going on in Star Wars at the moment, because he was in both trilogies at the time I met him.
Oh, of course.
He was in both Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. And he just wanted to talk about classical music. I asked him once, I just said, well, I would have loved to be a part of Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. I would much rather do that than playing the piano. And he said, well, I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he had the chance of being a singer when he was young, but he couldn't afford to pay the teaching for it and so on. It's a difficult time.
I had a question for Casper. Casper, I think we were talking earlier on about the fact that there was a total of 69 poems in Lord of the Rings that Tolkien had written. Did you start with a particular one for a reason? Like, was there one that seemed to be more like a song than any of the others? Or, like, which was the first one that you attacked?
The one that Billy is going to sing in a moment, which is actually one of the... It's the only song that's represented three times in The Lord of the Rings, and sung twice by Bilbo and once by Frodo, with every time with changes in the words. So you have that was the, and it was an easy one to, I mean, anybody could write a melody for that one, and it's also the one that they used in the beginning of Lord of the Rings. Gandalf sings it like this, something like, "Oh, the road goes up around and on from the door where it began," sort of, and we did our melody before that, and it's more slow and so on. It's more longing in a sense. It's not as foolish. But I think that was the first one, and then Galadriel's song after that. But it wasn't planned, like just, it was just like, which one inspired most at the time?
Well, if we are going to play something, I will have to borrow your book, because unlike Christopher Lee, I don't know all the words of Lord of the Rings.
Shame on you, William.
Right, you know what I mean, Tom? But do you remember Christopher Lee? The four hobbits shared a makeup trailer all through the trilogy, and at sometimes, so it was like the makeup trailer had four chairs, and then there was a little sort of door and another chair, and Gandalf was in there a lot of the time. Really annoyed at us because we would play music really loud and annoying. So he would close that little door and be annoyed at the four hobbits, as Gandalf should be. But when Saruman arrived, he took that chair for quite some time. Probably Ian thought, if I can get out of here, that would be great. But rather than be annoyed by it, he loved the music. And we would take days each. So one day, you know, Dom would come in and put on the Stone Roses. And the next day I would come in and put on, you know, the Proclaimers, and then Elijah would choose something weird, and then Christopher Lee joined in on that. So he had a day when he would play music, and it was very often either something classical or something he's singing or something incredibly heavy, like heavy metal.
Yeah, but he's singing heavy metal.
Do you remember Tom?
Yeah, he was very big on heavy metal. That seemed to be the genre that he wanted to impress on us the most, maybe because we were young men. I mean, I do remember a couple of classical moments, but generally classical music can be a little quiet to listen to and a little subtle, and we were always playing loud stuff. And I remember us all being so impressed that, like Billy said, not only did he keep his door open, but he was actively engaged in, like, oh, which Radiohead album is that? And he, you know, he'd like make notes and stuff. So a very impressive human, Christopher Lee. Roger and I both saw him throw a pen into a tree as well, which was really impressive.
tell that story.
What a guy.
He threw a pen.
We were sitting around on set. It was in some area of, it was on location, some part of New Zealand, South Island, maybe around at the time where the Fellowship is breaking up, just after Emon Hen. And I don't know, Elijah and I just found ourselves sat on those kind of classical high actor chairs. Christopher Lee was with us, and we were talking about nothing in particular. And an AD walked past, and Christopher Lee says, you know, excuse me, do you have a pen? And they gave Christopher Lee just like a normal biro. And, you know, he kind of said, watch this type thing, and then just threw it like a knife. And it lodged in the tree like a weapon. And obviously, Christopher Lee was trained in the special forces. And, you know, we kind of thought, well, if he can do that with a pen, what can he do with a knife? He was a very impressive human being.
It was one time we would do these really long press junkets, you know, days and days of sitting on chairs like this and people coming in from different channels and having 6 minutes or 4 minutes or 2 minutes to do a quick interview, and then they would leave so that they have for their channel an exclusive interview. And I was always with Dom normally, or the Four Hobbits, or, you know, it was always like that. And for one day, for some reason, they put me with Christopher Lee. I don't know why. I mean, Pippin, and it didn't make any sense to me, but I sat there and I basically didn't say anything because I was amazed by this guy. People would come in from France and he would speak to them in French. And then they'd come in from Germany, he'd speak in German, Danish. I was just like, this guy is unbelievable. He was a different type of human.
He was really, I was in the slipstream of Christopher Lee for many years, also doing some of the same kind of stuff, just in the music business.
Uh-huh.
And we were doing promotion in London at the time. And then we were supposed to go to a Hilton hotel to have some afternoon tea between two interviews.
Right.
And Christopher Lee always liked to drink schnapps. You know schnapps? Dom, do you know schnapps?
Yeah, right. I know schnapps. A little
Do you know the Norwegian Linje Akvavit?
No. Sounds good, though.
No, but it's a brand, and what they're special, what's special about them is that they're making this schnapps, which is like vodka, just a Scandinavian way of doing it, and then they sail it all across the planet, and just sell it when it's been all around the planet once, and that's what Christopher Lee always wanted. So
for what reason does it make it more tasty? Does it make it stronger?
That's what they say.
It's in a barrel and they just seal it around the world.
It's the taste. It should be the taste of it that's special.
Splish splash. I was taking a bath. And after the bath, I smelt fantastic. And I'll tell you why. I was using the new Ultra Premium Collection from our friends at Manscaped. This new skincare and hair care product lineup is designed to upgrade your shower routine. Your skin, hair, armpits deserve only the best. But you can save big on these products by going to manscaped.com because you can save 20% if you use our code ONION. Now, let me tell you what you get with this new premium collection. The new ultra premium body wash, which I really love. I think they've got the smell bang on. It's got aloe vera, sea salt, makes your skin feel good. Then you've got your hair care, you've got your shampoo and conditioner in one. It's fantastic. They've really nailed it with the smell here. Get out of the shower, you can moisturize yourself, get your deodorant on, dry skin, don't worry about that. Put a wee bit of lip balm on, that's you done, you're ready for the day. And the good thing is the people at Manscaped have made all this stuff cruelty-free, it's paraben-free, it's dye-free, and it's vegan. It's really brilliant and a really lovely cologne. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ONION at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code ONION at manscaped.com. It's time to get wet and clean. with your new Manscaped shower routine. Now, we all like cereal. Who doesn't like cereal? But we all know now that it's not very good for you. It's got way too much sugar in it. It's got all sorts of other additives and things that we shouldn't be eating. But I tell you who makes a cereal that you can eat and still feel good. Magic Spoon. Magic Spoon cereal is very healthy and it tastes fantastic. And another thing, it holds off cravings. Since I've been eating it in the morning, I notice I don't have any cravings right through till lunch. It's really good stuff. Here's some facts. 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein. That's a lot of protein. That's a good thing. And only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. Only 140 calories per serving. It's keto friendly. It's gluten free, grain free, soy free, and it's low carb. Build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, cookies and cream, maple waffle, blueberry cinnamon, plus the newly formulated honey nut flavor that will be added to Magic Spoon's permanent collection. And I love that one. It is fantastic. So go to magicspoon.com/onion to grab a custom bundle of cereal and be sure to use our promo code ONION at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/onion and use the code ONION to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
So always when he came to Denmark, he said, Kasper, can you make sure there's a bottle of Linja Aquavit on my hotel room? Oh. And I always made sure. So we come into the Hilton Hotel, and he walks up to the bar and says, I would like a Linja Aquavit. Mm-hmm. And no, nobody knows in England, in London, what Linja Aquavit is. Mm-hmm. So, and the bartender there, they kind of panicked, and they asked me, what is schnapps? And I told them it's kind of a vodka. And they came with the vodka card, which was 200 different vodkas he could choose. And he was just annoyed, so he just said, I'll have a beer then.
I did. 200 vodkas now.
No, none of those. Linja Aquavit or just a beer?
I don't think I could even say that. Linja Aquavit.
Linja Aquavit.
Linja Aquavit.
Yeah. Very close. Yeah.
Now, Kasper, can we talk about this lovely book? Because I don't know if you know, but I'm one of the great bookbinders in all the world. And as soon as you hand me this, this is a beautifully bound book.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord of the Rings it has on here, the Tolkien Ensemble,
mm-hmm.
and Kasper Leif.
It is, yeah.
So have you got a story behind why you have such a beautifully bound Lord of the Rings? It is actually really beautiful.
It's because you've signed it.
Is it?
No. No, it isn't. It's because that's a working Lord of the Rings edition that we used in the studio. So we have all the notes there. And then also, I've had some very nice people like Dom and you sign it and so on over the years.
Who's this? Beautiful drawing of Gandalf.
Ted Naismith made that one.
Ted Naismith, wonderful artist.
The Canadian artist, wonderful person and a wonderful artist. And yeah, so that's
Who bound it?
That was the Queen's bookbinder in Denmark, yeah.
Oh,
he's called Ole Olsen, and he's very, very good. And I paid a lot of money for it, but it's just a cheap Australian paperback that I got from my girlfriend when I was very young.
And then he's put this lovely binding on it, and
very legendary. It was broken in two. The book was broken in two, like Aragorn's sword. Yeah. so he had to pull it together, and
they
then
reforged
find
it.
Yeah, yeah, they reforged.
And
the
there's lots of notes in here. I can see.
Yes.
Is that while you've been working on it?
Yeah.
Shall we have a go at this song, shall we?
Yeah, we shall.
And it's the old walking song.
Sure.
Oh, I just found a picture of Christopher Lee.
Yeah, that's
and you
and the book.
And this is the actual book.
Yeah, and the producer, our producer Morten Ryland, who
I know. Yeah, you know, I know Morten. Yeah. Wonderful musician. So this is a song that Bilbo sings.
Tell us about this song before you guys begin. Give us a little backstory. Have you sang this before, Billy?
I've never sang this before, no, but it's I know the poem quite well. It's as Casper said, it arrives three times in the book, but I think the first time is Bilbo, right? This is the first time it's sang.
This is Bilbo. Yeah.
And this is one of the first that you wrote from all the...
It must have been the first one, yeah. And I think so, yeah.
And it's got that famous line, Dom, the road goes ever on and on. Like life, right, Tom?
Right.
Well, one day it will stop, but I'm not looking forward to that.
Before you guys begin, maybe Casper can speak to this a little bit.
Yeah.
Tolkien always seemed to be interested not only in roads, this idea of life being seen as a kind of a road, a journey, but the other thing that he talks about, which obviously he mentions in this, is that it doesn't stop. You know, paths lead from one way to another, the road is always kind of meandering. Those that wander are not lost. That, you know, he's very much interested in exploring journeys, and roads seem to figure. You know, you have the hobbits kind of walking on a road and then leaving a road and then leaving a path and splitting the path. Mm. Like, that's an interesting theme in Tolkien's work, right?
Definitely. Definitely. And, there's always a point with Tolkien never does anything without a point. He used more than 10 years to write this book. Mm. So that this song is used three times, and that the road theme is basically going through the book. Is you're absolutely right. There's a point with that, you know.
Yeah.
And that is the, you know, the life journey we all have, you know. And we have to be courageous to make it, and so on.
So I think at this part, Gandalf, Bilbo is actually given the ring to Gandalf to give to Frodo.
He passes the ring on because he it's exactly the point that he doesn't give it to Gandalf Gandalf don't want the ring because then Gandalf will be Sauron.
Yeah. But he's leaving it with Gandalf so that he can leave it with Frodo. So a huge moment in Bilbo's life.
Absolutely. And the first to actually surrender the ring of free will.
Yeah. And this is at a long-expected party.
Yeah.
Okay. Shall we...
And we do the introduction to the song as well.
Yeah. It was a fine night, and the black sky was dotted with stars. He looked up, sniffing the air. What fun! What fun to be off again, off on the road with dwarves. This is what I have really been longing for years. Goodbye, he said, looking at his old home and bowing to the door. Goodbye, Gandalf. Goodbye for the present, Bilbo. Take care of yourself. You are old enough and perhaps wise enough. Take care? I don't care. Don't you worry about me. I am as happy now as I have ever been, and that is saying a great deal. But the time has come, and I am being swept off my feet at last, he added. And then in a low voice, as if to himself, he sang softly in the dark. The road goes ever on and on, down from the door where it began. Now far ahead the road has gone, and I must follow if I can, pursuing it with eager feet until it joins some larger way where many paths and errands meet, and whither then I cannot say. The road goes ever on and on, down from the door where it began. Now far ahead the road has gone, and I must follow if I can.
Wow.
Lovely stuff, Casper. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Wonderful.
Lovely Bilbo. Isn't he just the sweetest? You know, when I first read The Hobbit, I was so taken by Bilbo that I couldn't read Lord of the Rings. Once it became Frodo's story, I was like, where's Bilbo? Where's Bilbo? I stopped reading it.
Yeah, but I started with Lord of the Rings.
Ah.
So to me, it was a surprise that Bilbo has such a big role in The Hobbit. You know, I kind of got it totally wrong. You know, I took it Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, The Silmarillion. That's backwards.
Yes.
So,
but that's sort of the way modern people will be doing it now because of Peter Jackson's movies, right?
Probably.
They sort of will do it that way.
What about you, Dom? Did you do it the right order? Start with The Silmarillion to the end of The Lord of the Rings?
No, I kind of did it like Billy. Mm-hmm. I listened to the BBC radio play of The Hobbit, driving my parents, obviously, driving me backwards and forwards from Germany to England once or twice a year. So like Billy, I thought Bilbo and Gandalf were kind of the main stars. And then when I read Rings much later in my kind of mid-teens, I was the same. I was kind of flicking through the first, 100 pages of the book and realizing that Bilbo featured kind of at the start of Lord of the Rings. But then once they left the Shire, I was like, oh, I guess it's not about Bilbo. And then very quickly realized that Frodo has his own kind of deep charisma and stuff. But I think maybe because The Hobbit as a book is slightly more geared towards kids or a younger reader, I found it a little bit easier to access. And then Lord of the Rings is clearly quite a task to read. But kind of similar to Billy.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you guys, so obviously you guys have met because you guys have got together and worked together in a music fashion, but I don't know if the listeners know about that yet. So maybe you guys can just talk about those ways that you guys have met across Europe and worked together.
Absolutely. So that sort of came from Christopher Lee as well, right? You and Christopher Lee did some concerts with this wonderful music. And sadly, of course, Christopher Lee passed. And
yes, in the Tolkien Ensemble, we've worked for 25 years now, 27 years now, I think. We've done concerts. First, we started out as a small group, only 7 people performing. And gradually, especially after we finished the recording project and the movies came around and so on, we started to combine our music with also our own arrangements of Howard Shore's music, and doing live concerts with Christopher Lee from time to time, not every time. But so we started out, I was called in 2004, I think it was, if I wanted to join Christopher Lee for a concert in Holland. And we did that, sold out, amazing concert with Christopher Lee on stage for 3 hours. It sort of went on from there to a lot of international shows, also featuring John Callan, he played one of the dwarves. I don't really remember which one of them. And then all of a sudden, Billy came along. And the fantastic thing about working with Billy is that Billy is a musician as well. So he has his own original music in this Middle Earth thing, with The Last Goodbye and Edge of Night and so on. So that was a fantastic thing. Maybe one of the... That's a great pleasure to work with you, Billy. And it's a combination of Tolkien Ensemble and Billy's own thing. So we've done about almost 100 concerts together, Billy, now.
And Casper has been in town for this week, we have talked, and we think we're going to be doing another show, Dom, and we may write something in there for you. Something wonderful, but you will need to be naked.
That's fine. I'm okay with that. You know me.
No problem.
I'd love that.
Yeah, but it's great. And Yes, it's just fun. It's just great fun.
Yeah, and beautiful. Now, and the, you know this world of Tolkien, Dom, you know as well as anyone the passion that it brings and when it leads to something like this, you know, an incredible body of work that you've done. I've heard it played with orchestras and it's beautiful, and I've seen it played as a small kind of, you know, not a folk group, but with really interesting instruments. And you know, what the Tolkien inspires that is just wonderful. And you see it all over the world, like people who have made, you know, costumes, uniforms that have been inspired by Tolkien, the map maker, and just how those stories have just influenced so many people.
It's totally amazing. And all these fantastic musicians, you know, I mean, it's Sharon, Enya, Annie Lennox,
Neil Finn, wonderful,
all kinds of, and Howard Shore's wonderful movie music.
Incredible.
I mean, it's there's so much fantastic music. So we will go on, and I think that's my life doing this. It's just my life doing music of Middle Earth.
Can you put your finger on why, when you read the book, you said, "This is it. This is what I'm." Maybe not at that time, but you end up making your life about that world of Tolkien, Middle Earth. Was there something in the story?
I mean, to it's almost like, why did you become an actor? You know, I mean, it was such a big thing for me. It's just like, I have to, the problem, if it would have been a major problem, and it's very interesting for me to think back, if we did not receive the permission from the Tolkien family, what would I have done? What would I have become? Maybe a classical guitarist, whatever, going that. But I don't think that would have been... The amazing thing about being in Lord of the Rings business is it goes from, you know, the most nerdish fan base to the highest commercial, you know, things. Like, it goes from a nerdish guy just doing his own drawings of it and up to Peter Jackson doing billions productions, you know, international things. And so there's always, it's this big thing that you can go into, and it's very, very interesting and stimulating in every way.
Well.
Hey.
Great music. That last song, seriously, it's fantastic. You guys should bring that out.
Thanks very much.
Christmas number one or something like that.
Well, I'd buy it. Would you really?
Yeah, I would.
How much would you spend on it?
Is it a, what's on the B side?
It's just me, like, humming.
$4.50?
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah.
It's a yellow vinyl.
Oh, great. $5.
Hey!
Nice. Yeah, that was great. The music's fantastic. You know, you play the guitar. I've seen you play the guitar. My brother's a great guitar player. I don't think I've ever seen someone play the guitar like Casper, though.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Great musician. And I just love that story. Mm. I mean, just to make that decision, you know, reading those books, I'm going to find some of these songs. What? No one's recorded them? Mm. I'm going to do them all.
Do them all.
Isn't that great?
Not only do them all, but do them so well that once the Tolkien estate managed to hear about what they'd done, they said, we'd like to be part of the official songs.
Yeah, given the rights to them. No, they don't give the rights to anyone.
No.
Brilliant. Great stuff. Well, thank you very much, Casper.
Yeah, thanks, Casper.
Really wonderful.
That was fantastic. We've run out of time.
Yeah.
We'd love for you guys to send us tongue twisters, because we love doing a tongue twister or two, and obviously a riddle. What else?
Just thought of something brilliant.
Is it a tongue twister?
Well, ask Casper to send us a tongue twister from Denmark.
Oh, in Danish.
In Danish.
Because, I mean, just trying to speak Danish is hard, so a tongue
but
twister.
But with a tongue twister, that's going to be good.
Let's
but if
do
you've
that.
Got any tongue twisters, please send them. We love doing that. If there's any swear words that you think should have been in Lord of the Rings, please send those.
Yeah, of course.
Riddles.
Yes.
If there's any guests that you would like to see on The Friendship Onion, let us know. Just send us an email to thefriendshiponion@castmedia.com or leave us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/thefriendshiponion.
My particular favorite this week that someone sent me on Instagram, which I think we might have mentioned before, is when Gandalf rolls up in his cart and sees Frodo when he's entering the Shire, and Frodo says, "You're f***ing it." I thought that was quite good. We'll see you guys next week
on the Friendship Onion.
Toodles.
Bye-bye.
Harmonize with me and hold me tight all through the night. You're shining bright. I'm your oyster, baby. You're my pearl.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you go on holiday, there is no finer achievement than doing absolutely nothing. Nothing on the beach, nothing by the pool. Walking kind of nowhere and chatting about nothing. As an Expedia member, you can save up to 30% when you add a hotel to your flight. So you can have a bit more money to go out there with great ambition to do absolutely nothing. Expedia, made to travel.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.